Hello and welcome back to the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. At the same time, you will hear about important things that are happening around the world. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, we turn to a problem that affects many Africans, the forced marriage of young girls. The African Union is working to stop this troubling practice. Then we are off to the western state of California to learn about two large ethnic groups. Some experts point out that while there are many cultural differences, there are also many similarities. 7 days a week, we give you our world as it is. In most African countries, at least 30% of all girls are married before they reach age 18. Many of these girls become a man's wife against their will. The high number of young wives has led the African Union to launch a 2-year campaign to end child marriage in Africa. Parents in developing countries force 14 million girls below the age of 18 to get married each year. Most of these countries are in Africa. Zainabu is a 16-year-old girl from Niger. She says that she was taken out of school by her parents to get married. She says her husband beat her if she did not want him to touch her. She ran away to her parents, but they also beat her and returned her to her husband. She later ran away to another family member and now wants to return to school. Girls married at a young age often develop mental disorders. They may also suffer other health problems because of an early pregnancy, and they are less likely to get an education. Most of the girls come from poorly educated families and rural areas where young women cannot oppose cultural traditions. The African Union campaign to end child marriage is aimed at policy action and on raising understanding of the problem. Olawale Mayegun is the director of the AU's Social Affairs Commission. He says AU member countries should follow and enforce laws and policies that protect children.
The Charter on the Rights of the Child, for example, has clear provisions on harmful practices against the child. And it's clear in the provisions of the Charter, culture or religious or whatever should not be an excuse, and the states must take measures to eliminate them. People use all sorts of excuses to perpetuate what they're doing, but it's not an excuse as far as the Commission is concerned.
Among African countries, child marriage rates are highest in Niger and Chad. The rates there are above 70%. In Zambia, the rate is 42%. 10 government ministries are working together to bring that rate down. Nkandu Luo is the Zambian Minister of Chiefs and Traditional Affairs.
The reason we felt that the chiefs should be the ones is because it hinges on customary law, and there's also a belief that it is to do with our cultures. When any parent is reported to the chief, first of all, they appear before the chief because there's the traditional court. So they appear before the traditional court and they are charged according to the decision by the traditional court. But they also make sure they go and take that child out of marriage and put her back into school.
The End Child Marriage campaign is done in cooperation with African governments, civil society organizations, and the United Nations Children's Fund. More immigrants live in the western state of California than anywhere else in the United States. Among the largest immigrant groups are Mexicans and Chinese. They may have come to the country legally or without legal documents. The two ethnic groups come from very different places, but they share many similarities. 21-year-old Jonathan Wong is a fourth-generation Chinese and a third-generation Mexican-American. But people often wonder about his ancestry.
They go, are you Filipino? Are you Mexican? Are you Pacific Islander? Are you Hawaiian?
Although the cultures of his ancestors are very different, Jonathan Wong finds there is one thing both deeply value.
The connection you have with your family in general, both of them are very family-oriented.
Like many immigrants, his Mexican and Chinese ancestors came to the U.S. for a better life. Shelley Fisher Fishkin is director of the American Studies Program at Stanford University in California.
The Chinese who came to the U.S. in the middle of the 19th century and then Mexicans who came at the end of the 19th century, early 20th century, were lured by the possibility of creating opportunities for their families that were not possible in their home countries.
The new immigrants often faced hardship and discrimination. They worked as laborers, either as modern-day Mexican farm workers or as Chinese railroad workers in the 19th century. An art show examines the two immigrant experiences. The exhibit can be seen at the Chinese American Museum in Los Angeles. One artwork has railroad tracks buried under a small mountain of fortune cookies. Artist Hung Liu created the work. It is meant to represent the early Chinese immigrants who came to dig for gold or work on the railroads.
The very reason the Chinese first came here is to escape from the economic despair in China.
Stephen Wong is the curator of the Chinese American Museum. He says immigrants from China and Mexico still come to the U.S. He adds that immigration remains an important issue.
I think not a lot of people realize that there still is a lot of unskilled labor coming in from both communities. And not a lot of people know, too, when it comes to immigration and immigration reform, usually people associate that with, oh, that's a Latino issue. But that is also a big Asian issue of undocumented immigrants coming in, also specifically Chinese.
In the Los Angeles area, both groups often live in ethnic neighborhoods. Artist Tony De Los Reyes experienced this while growing up in Los Angeles. Mostly Mexican, East Los Angeles is one ethnic area. Next to it is Monterey Park, a mainly Chinese community. While these immigrant groups may live near each other, Tony says the two do not often mix.
You're going to have this push and pull between not wanting to be in a place because culture is different, and then also being attracted to it.
But Jonathan Wong says such borders are becoming less clearly defined. That is why he is not surprised that his parents met and got married.
Look how much like blending there is, and it's not even weird at all, like how they would have met or how they could have, you know, came across each other and, you know, hit it off.
He expects more mixing of the two cultures in other parts of the United States as immigrants and their families continue to seek the American dream. Before we move aside for two more Learning English programs this hour, here is a brief history lesson for you. On this date in 1864, the bloody Battle of Cold Harbor took place during the American Civil War. More than 7,000 soldiers were killed during the first 30 minutes of fighting near Richmond, Virginia. On this date in 1936, Allen Ginsberg was born. He was a famous American poet who was known as a leader of the Beat Generation. His poetry was very liberal for its day, and his book, Howl, was even forbidden to be published until the court said it was not without redeeming social importance and could continue to be sold. That's all for today, but please come back again tomorrow for another As It Is program on VOA. World News is yours at the beginning of the hour. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington.